my job to entertain or to try to say something provocative and thought worthy for a little while before you get a chance to share. A friend of mine, guy I knew who grew up in Louisiana, he told me that he would work during the summers at a Tabasco plant. I'm sort of remembering. It's been many years since he told me the story, but it sort of stuck. He worked in the packing and shipping area of the plant, and he would only work there during the summers. But he met the people the people that worked there full time throughout the course of the year. And he told me a funny story or interesting story. He said that because the Tabasco fumes were so ever present throughout the plant, and because basically, Tabasco was pretty much free to anybody who worked at the plant. And because everybody just there who worked there would use Tabasco when they ate, that pretty much the people who were lifelong Tabasco workers, after a while, would use Tabasco on virtually everything that they ate. Because it's very hot, that eventually a lot of them couldn't taste their food unless it was drenched in Tabasco. And that food that didn't have Tabasco on it didn't have any taste to them. So they would carry around Tabasco, bottles of Tabasco with them. Even, you know, when they went out to grab fast food, no matter what they got, they just put Tabasco on it. And it's metaphorical of tonight's talk, which is about the inner drama queen in each of us, the dramatic stories that we tell about our lives, the dramas and the big narratives that we all live in. It's so everywhere in the world, drama, 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 drama. Our friends have dramas. There's dramas on the news. I can't even look at news, honestly. If I do read the news, it has to be on the BBC, where they're not screaming end of the world, you know, like CNN or the rest of the, where there's headlines and stuff running and blinking alerts and icons and... But there's drama everywhere. You pick up your phone, somebody's got a drama going on. So it's like the Tabasco thing, it's everywhere, right? And then we start adding drama because it's our way of focusing the mind that there's something important going on in our life. Dramas are things that basically focus our attention on something that's unknown, where the answer is not clear. Dramas are some of the most popular. If you look up the most popular TV shows by country, inevitably there'll be a cop procedural and a lawyer courtroom serial and a doctor show like House. They're all dramas. Dramas are by nature different than comedies in that they're not that funny. We generally don't laugh at our dramas that much. Only after years pass do we laugh about our dramas. Ha ha ha! I can't believe I was so worked up about that. Remember when we were all worked up about this or that? But that takes years, right? But when we're in our dramas, there's nothing too funny about them. So they're very distinct from comedies. Dramas are also very distinct from fantasies, because dramas have the realm of the possible, even the likely to them. We believe that dramas could really be happening when we watch them on TV. And our dramas in our lives, the things that we focus our mind on and worry about, we really believe these fears and fantasies and stories about what could happen. I might lose my job, this might happen, I might get dumped, I might, something terrible might happen. We really believe it's possible. Unlike fantasies, when we're in a wild fantasy, we'll say, oh my God, I had the strangest daydream or the strangest dream. But when we don't include our worries and our dramas as a fantasy, we think there's something very real and plausible about them. So they all have in common a couple of things. I wrote down a couple of notes about the dramas that we live in. There's one of the underlying basic assumptions about dramas. If you watch them, you're always trying to get to the conclusion of a drama. If you ever watch like an arc show about a whodunit or a mystery or some or a show, the moment by moments are not as important as the big resolution, the whodunit, the verdict in the courtroom show, or the moment where House goes, I know he's got this strange, bizarre African food poisoning, and that's why. Have you ever seen that show, House? It's like, you know, the things that people are dying from are always the most outlandish, bizarre stuff. But the first 59 minutes of a 60-minute show are basically waiting to get to the big reveal, right? And that's really what we feel like when we're in a drama. We feel like there's something. The present moment is just is not as important as we get to this future moment when we'll have the big information, the big verdict, when we'll find out if this or that comes to pass. There, we really believe in a lot of the dramas we live in that there's something very important at stake, as in our future happiness. Whether it's a drama with a roommate, a drama with a colleague at work, a drama whether we get to keep our job, or whether we'll lose a job, or whether, what's going on with people we know, or what are other people doing when we're not around, or all this stuff. There's a sense that it's really important, the outcome. And as I said, there are dramas, we really believe that they're true, that they're very possible. And they really, really, really entangle the mind. The Buddha said that he used the analogy of when he said nibbana or enlightenment was one of the real translations for the word is disentangling the mind from the world. One translation of nibbana is unbinding. Our awareness leaves what's going on right here and right now and goes out and starts thinking about the future and the past and what might happen and all the possibilities and the gets caught up in these stories. Much like a fisherman who's casting his, I don't know what the fuck fishermen cast. No, the line, the line, the hook, the bait, the whatever, they're casting it. And it's out there. And if you ever watch, you know, they're pulling it back. And then when it comes back, more often than not, it's seaweed or it's garbage or it's gotten tangled in like a branch or something. And it's, you know, but they keep trying to catch that bigger fish by going, I don't know if the name is true, I'm making it up, but it's what happens when we throw our awareness out into this realm of what ifs and what could happen. The further we cast out our awareness from what's happening right here, right now, in this moment, into this realm of what could be, this speculative realm of, uh-oh, I wonder if this thing will happen, the more likely we'll get tangled and snared, and what Pema Chodron calls, we'll get hooked. We'll get entangled. So, why do we like dramas? I suspect that the mind really doesn't like change, really doesn't like the unknown. And so whenever there's an element in our life of where we don't know the outcome, where we don't know how something's going to play out, when we become aware that some part of our life is shaky, the mind floods into this area and tries to figure it all out by trying to figure out every outcome or the worst possible outcome if you're neurotic like me. Tries to go to the worst possible outcome or to every possible outcome and tries to figure it out and guess. And the more we do that, the more important these unknowns seem, these dramas seem, because we're giving them so much focus and so much attention that it seems like these unknowns have, that everything rides on them. Everything rides on whether or not I stay in this relationship, this job, my mother likes me, whatever. So the more we focus on, it's like that old Chinese adage, when you bring a leaf up to your, really up close, it can seem bigger than the moon. The closer and the more we think about these stories, these unknowns, these speculative realms, the bigger and more important they seem just by the amount of time we devote to them. So, we get caught up in these dramas, and what's the problem? Well, the problem is, A, it takes up enormous amounts of energy, mental energy. They are what the Buddha called pure examples of sankharas, where they're just elaborations. The mind is elaborating, adding onto what's really happening, adding all this Tabasco onto it. And just like the Tabasco example, eventually the rest of life tastes kind of bland. The stuff that we should be focusing on. Like this person I'm talking to right now, who I've ever lost focus during a conversation and gone off into a realm where you're, and then the other person has stopped talking and you realize you have to sort of bullshit and make it seem like you've been listening. Maybe it hasn't happened to you, but but we don't, when we're in dramas, we're not giving life in this moment, which is the only time and place we can do anything effective. We're not paying attention. We're not giving our true attention to where we can be effective. What's right happening right here and right now in front of me. I can't be effective in the future. I can be effective. I can make change right here and right now. But if I'm lost in a drama, if I'm lost in a story of possibilities, I'm not effective. Finally, they're untrue. There really aren't as many dramas in life as we want to believe. First off, the present moment is no less important than any other moment that has ever existed. Ever. This moment in time is the culmination of everything that has gone before. The answers to everything are occurring right now. There is no more important moment than right in this instant. As a great speaker, Earl H., used to say, when he was giving a talk, he would go like that. And he said, if you weren't awake when that happened, you've missed the entire point. It's right here and right now where everything of importance, where everything can happen. No other time. Everything is being answered right here and right now. There is no future moment that's more important. Also, the idea that there'll be some big verdict or solution or reveal in life that will be the end big verdict and reveal is a total myth. We tend to blow the things that we're worried about, the verdicts, way out of proportion. I've known so many people who've been diagnosed with cancer, and they all say that they lived under the delusion or the idea that if they were diagnosed, that would be it, that everything after that would be, you know, and then they find out that actually there's life after that, and that every moment after and before is just as important. So this idea that there's some big moment that's happening in the future where we're going to get this big information is not true. And also, it's worth remembering that we tend to live as if like there's some big, big piece of knowledge that's going to be given to us that we don't have. And once we have that bit of knowledge, that we'll be able to make our way through life more effectively. The Buddha answered that one with a famous teaching where he held up a couple leaves in front of his students, and he said, what is more important, the leaves in my hand, or what? I mean, what's more numerous, the leaves in my hand or the leaves in all the trees of the forest? So, of course, it's a trick question. He was saying, these leaves are all that matter, the few leaves that I'm holding right now, because they're all you need to know. They're all you need to know. Everything I've taught and every bit of information can be summed up in a few very simple lessons. Every single one of the Buddha's teachings basically were enough to lead somebody to enlightenment. You don't need to learn more than the basic core teachings. There's no big bit of knowledge that I'm holding, waiting to tell you for a... I'm going to, you know, 3 weeks from now, I'm going to tell you. Every single talk, if you've been to one of these talks or to any other Dharma teacher's talks, probably, hopefully, you've gotten all the information. These are just different ways of looking at it, but there's no big reveal. So then given how much time we waste in these dramas, and sure, there are times in life that are more dramatic than others, but when you think about it, so many of the stuff, the big stories and worries that we've lived in have been so unnecessary, the ones that we worry about and they don't come to pass. So what are the ways that we work towards dropping these dramas, or to giving ourselves some mental peace? Because when we drop these stories, so much of the weight in the mind opens up, and the mind becomes clearer, and we become so much more effective. So what are some of the strategies to do this? The first is to use our minds, practice using our thoughts in a much more noting type way rather than a speculative type way. In other words, when we catch ourselves worrying about some outcome or some future possibility or some story about people that are not right here, right now, refocus the thoughts on what's happening right here and right now. Oh, this is me sitting in a room surrounded by other people at Dharma Punks in New York. This is what's happening now. Remind the mind what's really occurring right here and right now. Reground our awareness. It's really worth, too, reflecting on each time we worry about something and it doesn't come to pass. We tend to focus on the times that our worst fears come to pass, and we call up someone, it's just like I said. That son of a bitch. It was just like I said. You know what they were doing? Guess what? Let me tell you. We tend to really give a lot of mental energy to the times we were right. But when those times when we waste so much mental energy, worry about something, this is it. I'm screwed. I'm not going to be able to pay the rent this month. I'm not going to be able to pay the rent. I'm not going to be able to pay the rent. Did you pay the rent? Yeah, I paid the rent, but it was just by a squeak. I just squeaked by. No, that's not enough. We have to stop and notice, wow, how much did I think and use my mind on that outcome that didn't come to pass? The Buddha called this samvega, developing a sense of, ew, I can't believe I used my mind so much on an outcome that didn't happen. I could have been doing so many other things with my mind. I could have been relaxing. I could have been having a mental vacation. I could have been writing a book. I don't know. But I could have been doing something that didn't age me and release cortisol and really that's what happens. When you stress and you worry, we release cortisol and then you stop producing white blood cells and you start producing red blood cells, and it has a terrible effect on aging and the body and the immune system. So it's not good for a lot of reasons. So it's really worth reflecting on all the times where we've worried about something and it didn't come to pass. It's really, as I say every week, it's really worth noticing where in the body we hold tension when we're caught up in a story, caught up in a narrative drama, so that we can bring our awareness to this area and relax it. And if this area of the body is relaxed, then say, okay, if this thing really wants my attention, I'll let my part of my mind work on it, but only if I'm relaxed. Then you'll get to see how weak these dramas can really be when they're not getting you all stressed out and tense. I often think it's really a good exercise to, every time a drama comes up in my mind, to ask myself, would I really do this to somebody else? Would I follow somebody else around and say, what if you can't pay the rent this month? Would I let somebody else do that to me? Is there anybody I would let follow me around and go, what if they're all talking about you behind your back? Or whatever drama we live in. No. Finally, there is a slightly useful time for drama. I actually did. It sounds a little lame, but years ago when I was first teaching with my co-teacher Craig, we used to get together and we'd get really all caught up in stories about our favorite Dharma teachers and Buddhists that we admired, and we'd get really caught up in like how far we could go in the practice. And we bring that sort of drama away from all these terrible realms, and we sort of focus them strategically on our spiritual practice. I remember getting in these wonderful arguments about whose technique was more effective in leading to the jhanas, Ajahn Brahms or Ajahn Amaro's, and who was more Mahayana, who was more Theravada, and all this stuff. But I really said, okay, really, how far can I go today in my meditation? Really, maybe today I can really, what place can I bring it to? I brought that sense of anticipation and living for an outcome into my spiritual practice, rather than having it always be about the same shit like financial insecurity, you know, worrying about work, whatever. I really retrained my mind to like pull it away, pull that speculation away from those areas. So in summary, I think it's worthwhile to begin to note how often the mind drifts into these big narratives about unknowns and realize that it's just the mind's way of being uncomfortable with change. And that change is really what life is completely filled with. There'll be one drama after another if we allow the mind to fall into that pattern of dealing with all the areas that are unstable. Because after all, everything the Buddha said outside in the world isn't stable. So I hope that you got something out of tonight's talk, and now it's your turn to share or talk about anything that's important to you or ask any questions about tonight's talk, and I thank you for listening. Hi.
Random, and I'm sure you've probably been asked 10,000 times from 1,000 people, but something that went away for a little while has come back.